This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I have just been informed that my mum did not have the record button on for our first intro, so this is our second attempt. How are you, Mum?
I'm very distracted, Jessie.
Why?
Well, because I haven't had my tea. Someone threatened to smash my windows in because I won't buy anything out of their bloody green basket, and I told them it was dangerous to go door to door, so I had to call the police.
So that could be quite interesting for this podcast if they smash the windows in, because you're in the study, so they'll be able to see you.
Yeah, great, Jess. I love that.
It's not going to happen. Don't worry. Sam will be around in a jiffy. It'll be all right.
Yeah, good. So I've been distracted, and I did all the cleaning of the house, which seemed to take me hours today. Have you cleaned your house yet, Jess?
Mum.
No.
My husband does that. I don't do that. I cook. He cleans.
Have you cleared any of the bags out, Jess, that I sent round?
Yes, I have actually. Thank you so much.
Have you?
Yeah, I actually have. Thank you.
Good.
We did some weeding this week. Very interesting.
Hate weeding. Hate gardening.
Well, I broke the, what's it? I don't even know. It's like the Jewish princess doing gardening is hysterical. I love the weeding. You have to be really gung-ho. But anyway, so how is dinner looking for you today, Mum?
It's meagre pickings. I've not really eaten properly today. I just had some chicken soup, which I'd made.
Your chicken soup was delicious. The kids polished it off.
Did they really like it?
I can't even tell you. I'm very proud. I feel like the Jew in them is just like, give me the matzo ball. 3 matzo balls each.
Oh, good, darling. So I had...
It made me really confirm to myself that I am going to have that bat mitzvah.
Oh, good. We're not having David Schwimmer. Everyone's made banana bread from our cookbook and it's been a success.
Yeah, I know. But like, I do feel like poor David Schwimmer, he did get one that had been in the oven for 15 minutes too long. It was dry. I concur.
Yeah, wow.
But it is lovely to see everybody making our recipes.
Cooking, but lots of people, they do more your recipes and Alex's than mine, I've noticed.
I'm saying nothing.
I think Alex's pistachio and orange cake is always in the pictures and the triple threat brownies. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I think everyone's doing kind of comfort food. So anyway, who have we got on today, Mum?
Well, someone who's really fabulous, darling. I'm very excited.
We've never had so many requests for a guest as this.
Everybody has said, please, can you have her on? Please, can you have her on? And we've got her. Are you on the rosé, darling?
I actually didn't have the right tonic to have the nice rosé gin. So I've got...
Oh, Ellie and Casper.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Woo! Hey.
Ellie Goulding, I can't even tell you how many people have requested, demanded that you be on this podcast.
Yeah. Really?
This has been a while in the making.
It has.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so happy that we're finally here doing this.
Me too. In weird, special, weird circumstances. However, you've informed us you have the shittest Wi-Fi. You're in Oxford. Is that where you live now, babe?
I am in Oxford. My husband is studying here, so he has this little house, and we're kind of just living here, and he is commuting to school, but I mean not right now. But I have a place in London, but currently my brother is there, so he's there kind of in isolation by himself, and yeah, we are here.
How is life on lockdown for you two?
It's basically me up here kind of pottering around, picking up the guitar every now and then, tinkering on the piano, and then he's downstairs just working solidly. So it's not like we're doing sort of couples activities. It's very much me doing my own thing and him doing his own thing. But I know a few of my friends are driving each other mad, husbands and wives and girlfriends and boyfriends and whoever else, from being in this kind of, because it's just a whole new thing. It's a whole new situation to be literally with each other 24/7. So I think it's been testing.
What's the food looking like in your situation though? Because
the food, what am I cooking or what's around?
Yeah, I want to know what you've been like, what you've been, well, I'm not suggesting that you've been stockpiling, you two, but like, what's the thing that when you go to the shops or if you've got your delivery, you're like, right, no, you can't forget that. Or what have you been drinking a lot of? What have you been eating a lot of? What, Casper's made a barbecue tonight. So he's got two essays. He's a high achiever. He's got two essays coming in and he's at Oxford. He's also your sound man tonight.
He's really annoying. Yeah, he's a high achiever.
And he's done a barbecue. What's on the barbecue?
So literally, we've just used up what we had. We've had peppers that were possibly slightly off that now look fine. And we've got some sweet corn and we've got veggie burgers. So for our wedding, we used this company called Meatless Farm. I don't eat meat. So they did all the... like the midnight food for our wedding, which I saw none of. I mean, it was just all a massive blur. I can't remember anything, but definitely can't remember any food. And so we've kind of just used everything up. It's kind of a case of, yeah, just using up everything at the moment. I did go to the shop today and queued for about an hour and a half, which is fine because I took my book.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So it was fine. And the sun was shining and it was nice. And I had my takeaway tea thing with me, so I was prepared. I knew there was going to be a queue, so I was prepared. But then I panicked because I was reading on my phone a story about policemen checking people's trolleys for essential items. I was like, shit, if he looks in my trolley, he's going to know immediately that I don't have essential items. I had like ice cream for him as a reward when he finishes his essays, and I had like a Lindt chocolate bunny. I was like, this is not essential things, but I also did have essential things. So yeah, we're using things up and then also trying to be very consciously healthy and keep immune system up. I've become really obsessed with immunity and longevity and like biohacking and eating all the good things. So I've got my salad with some like sprouted things in it, and it's got some figs in it and some walnuts. So yeah, it's all going on with food.
Are you missing London at all?
Not really. I have a place in Paddington and I feel it like it's got a very kind of hard energy. It's a lot of people. It's very busy. It's quite polluted and I feel really conscious of pollution. And I grew up in the countryside. I grew up in middle of nowhere in Herefordshire, but nearer to Wales. So it's in my, I feel like it's kind of in my blood to be breathing slightly cleaner air. And I used to hate being in big cities. So if I had my choice, I would live here permanently. But obviously, as you know, it's constant traveling, having to be at places. It just wouldn't work to live out here full time. But I do love London.
But you and Casper met, am I right? You and Casper met in New York.
Yeah.
Because you were living in New York for a bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a wild city. So what was that like? What was it like for eating out? Where did you eat? How did you meet?
It's not a particularly exciting story, sadly. I don't know. It wasn't like a love at first sight thing at all. We didn't fancy each other remotely. It was just, we were sat next to each other at a dinner. I think I was doing like a jingle ball thing at the time. And my friend wanted to put a dinner on for me I don't know. Some people just like to put dinners on, which I think is lovely, and introduce people to each other, which is something I've never done. I've always just had like dinners with friends and family. So she wanted to put on a dinner for people to get to know each other. And I was feeling really rough. I for some reason, I had terrible bronchitis at the time, and I was really ill, most ill I'd been in ages. So that all I wanted to do was go to bed after the show. And I went to this dinner that she'd kindly put on for me. And I was sat next to Casper, and he was from a big farming family. And I talked about how I was vegan and all this stuff. And he talked about how much he loved, you know, meat, beef and chicken and lamb and whatever else. So yeah, we had literally nothing in common, but yeah, he wooed me basically.
Fabulous.
We ended up just going on dates, and he took me to some art galleries. He works in art. So yeah, and then now we're married.
When did you become vegetarian? Because you come from Hereford, where the meat is fabulous.
It is. And it's, I see it on so many menus at Hereford Beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a very meat-heavy childhood, for sure. It was always, you know, meat and two veg kind of thing. And then when I was 14, I saw a video in the, I don't know, geography class or something, where I decided that I didn't like the way that meat was processed. So I stopped eating meat. And then I went to university, realised that it was just too, I don't know, I think I had some kind of reasoning, like it was too expensive to be vegetarian or something. So I just ate cheap meat for a few years, and then I went back to being veggie. I probably won't eat meat again, but having fish every now and then definitely helps.
So what's your favourite fish? Or do you just eat it as a necessity rather than because you like it?
Kind of. I eat a lot of things for their nutritional value.
Yeah.
Which sounds so dorky, but I do eat the things I love for my taste is I love sweet things.
Okay.
Love sweet things.
So then what would be your, okay, so what, let's go into it then. What's your like last supper? Forget about nutrition, or maybe it kind of really would play a part in yours anyway. Like everything's out the window. Starter, main, pud and drink of choice. I think I know the drink of choice, but I'm going to wait to hear what you say.
Drink of choice would be the world's most expensive champagne, because it's super sugary, and that's just very me.
Which one? Crystal?
I actually don't know what the world's most expensive champagne is. Do you know?
Isn't it Crystal?
What did you have at your wedding?
What do we have? We had Moët, because they gave us some Moët, because I wouldn't stop banging on about how much I love champagne. They were like, all right, we'll give you some Moët. so we had a bit of Moët at the wedding.
Right.
But, okay, so drink would be champagne. It would be maybe, I do like Renoir. I don't know if that's how you say it, but it's spelled R-U-I-N-A-R-T. Tastes nice. I don't think it's the most expensive.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's very expensive.
Is it? Okay. So I'd have that. Starter, I would have, oh gosh. I mean, to be honest, I'm so boring, but I would just have a lot of carbs for my last meal. I feel like I stop myself from eating pasta and rice and bread quite a lot. So I'd have something that involves pasta, maybe some kind of little ravioli thing. Yeah, it would just be all carbs, I think.
But why do you stop yourself having carbs? Is it because you don't like how you feel on them?
Yeah, because I often, when I eat carbs, it's not just a vanity thing. I genuinely feel, I don't feel great when I have them. And as someone that I feel like I'm naturally, I like to be quite active. When I have big bowls of pasta and things like that, I do feel quite like I've eaten a blanket. Or something really heavy.
You know what you'll say about the thing that you feel like you feel not great on them? Have them for a few days and then it doesn't feel any different. You just kind of, you keep on going.
I can't remember the last time I had, I think the last time I had a bowl of pasta was on my honeymoon, which was last year.
Bloody
in
hell.
September.
Oh, bloody hell, babe. Casper, make us some fucking truffle pasta, quick!
I can't remember the last time I ate bread either, honestly. And, this sounds really like boring, but I just don't feel like I need it. Like in the morning, I will have like a big, what I call a messy bowl, which is yogurt with loads of goji berries and nuts, and I have prunes. I do love prunes, which is really random. Prunes and dates.
Jessie, do you know what? I think she should have married your Sam.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, she's very happy with Casper, obviously.
I know she's happy with Casper, but they're on a par.
Yes, you and my husband are like two peas in a fucking pod.
Oh, really?
Him and his fucking cheer seeds. Oh, yeah,
I'm so glad to see the back of those seeds.
We were living with my mum, Ellie, for a very long time because we were doing up this house that we're doing up, and then we moved out because of old Corona. And my mum has literally been like, here's your nut butter, here's your chia seeds, here's your fucking tahini, get it out of my fucking house. Here's your goji berries. Yeah, she's like, if I have to see a dairy-free bloody coconut milk again, I fucking, she's going to scream. So yeah, it's weird.
No,
yeah.
I'm all about dairy, and my fans that know that I was vegan for a long time will be shocked by this, but I am very into dairy. Especially since being around here, there are amazing local farm shops that have all this organic stuff. And I'm really into my dairy. Casper's really into his meat. So, and obviously I grew up in a family that was just like, I grew up in a you know, family of four, me and my three siblings. And we didn't have much money. So it was all about, it was just about meat, you know, milk and cereal, some vegetables. And I'm definitely not mad about coconut yogurt and all those dairy-free alternatives.
I want to know what your pudding is. If you're so obsessed with puddings and sweet things, I want to know what the, you know, the pud is.
Oh my gosh. I love proper traditional English stuff, like I love trifle. Love trifle.
Oh, I we'll love send you our cookbook.
Love trifle.
Me too.
It's the best thing in the world, isn't it?
I love like sticky toffee pudding, love apple pie and custard, and then ice cream as well. Yeah, I love all the desserts I had growing up. I mean, we'd have ice cream all the time, like, you know, what's it called? Neapolitan, like whether it's like chocolate, strawberry and vanilla.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ellie, am I wrong in thinking somebody told me you're Jewish?
I'm not. My dad's family were, but not my mum's.
Right, got it. So, I mean, you've never really practiced it.
No, I haven't practiced it. I think that at one point I was kind of embraced by the Jewish community because I think I'd mentioned that in an interview at one point. But no, I was never really brought up with any particular religion, whereas my husband was. So I did get christened before our wedding so that I could get married in York Minster.
Yeah, you had a big wedding in a proper high church, really.
Yeah. So Casper's family are from Yorkshire, and when York Minster very sadly burnt down at one point, I can't remember the reason why, but Casper's family helped with some of the rebuilding of it. So donated a bunch of wood to rebuild it, essentially. And it's one of the most beautiful buildings in the world. And so, so we got married there, and his family are Christian. So, I got christened.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I mean, it was really lovely seeing the pictures of your wedding. Like, Vogue did this beautiful spread of it, and you looked stunning.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I'd ever been in Vogue. I was like, thanks, guys.
But how many outfits did you have? Did you have three or four?
I had quite a few outfits because I was really shameless for my wedding. And since I was a girl, I would draw pictures of girls in wedding dresses and like ball gowns. And I always said to myself, if I ever get married, which I was really cynical about for a long time because my parents divorced, a lot of my childhood friends' parents divorced also. So I was never really a big fan of it. But then when I met Casper, I knew after a few months, after he wooed me, I knew that we'd get married. And I just had this feeling, as I'm sure, Jesse, you can sort of relate to when you find that person.
Oh, yeah. I got my claws like firmly into Sam and I was like, you will be my husband. I mean, we've been going out since we're 18. We're very boring.
Oh.
Meant that I couldn't, I mean, you know, I really have to dig deep for those sad songs because it's pretty dull in this situation and we're pretty happy, yeah.
But you know, oh my gosh, I've got, yeah, that's where I differ because I had quite a few, I kissed quite a few frogs, but that sounds harsh, but that's the sort of best way to say it because I did have a few relationships before Casper that I thought at the time were amazing, but I realized, you know, through all this, not to go super deep, but realized that actually I was, you know, perhaps not quite myself, which makes sense with everything going on and whatever the hell's happened in the past 10 years. So therefore, I perhaps had some relationships that were not what I thought they were. But then when I met Casper, I just knew. So I said to myself, right, if I do meet the one and I do meet the person I want to marry, then I don't really want to have a small wedding. I would like, and I know some people like to have, you know, very small weddings, and I really respect that. But I was like, no, I want, if I'm getting married once in my lifetime, I want the biggest wedding. Yeah, so I wanted to have a few different outfits because why not? And I wanted to have a dress that meant something to me. So, you know, that something that I could, something that was a bit more meaningful. And so I had our initials put in the veil.
Sweet.
And it was made by a friend of mine who happens to work for Chloe.
Amazing.
And yeah, so every outfit that I wore meant something. But I just, you know, I just wanted to have a big day and I wanted my friends to have a big day and my family. And, you know, I still have messages now saying like, gosh, I wish we could go back to that day, especially right now, because it was just such a fun weekend. And there were, you know, it's all my friends and family together. And it was amazing.
What was the cake and what was the first dance? And did you eat any of it?
No. Do you know what? I've got a tiny bit of it in my freezer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, babe, no time like the present. Come on, we're in lockdown.
But I didn't, I honestly, I swear to God, I think the biggest grievance I had from the wedding was that I didn't have any of the food.
Oh, how annoying.
Because we chose a local caterer, the Yorkshire Party Company, because we'd had them, so Casper's sister had them for a party, and they were amazing, and just, we loved that it was local and supporting local food. But then on the day, I was genuinely excited about the food. I get excited about food. And so so we had, you know, the whole taste testing and all that stuff and wine testing, which was my favorite bit. But then on the day, I didn't have a single morsel of food. I think I had a tiny bit of fish and that was it. And I made sure that there were meat-free burgers, like halloumi wraps at the end of the night. I made sure there were big tubs of sweets, candy. And I didn't have a single thing. And I'm just so annoyed. I didn't get to eat anything.
Were you, can you remember it?
No wonder I was so drunk.
Were you drunk?
Oh gosh, yes.
But like you were fine. Because what happens when I'm drunk, I'll like have three of them. Like I was at a wedding that they had like food stands everywhere. I sampled every stand and there were like six stands. So I was like, well, I must try.
Yeah, but your wedding, Jessie, you didn't eat that much.
I know, I ate. I just didn't drink, weirdly. Like, I was like, cool. I don't know. I had these weird kind of natural endorphins.
Maybe I was prioritizing drinking over eating.
I respect that.
But yeah, so I remember absolutely sobbing my heart out to Serpent With Feet. He sang a song that he'd recorded with Björk, and Björk is my all-time hero. And when he sang that, it was the weirdest emotion I'd ever felt, I think, listening to music. Just the enormity of it all and how beautifully he sang. That was the first moment that I was like, whoa, this is big. And I do remember having a drink in that moment. And the first dance was Jack Garrett.
Oh, I love Jack Garrett. What was the song?
He sang, brain fart, whatever you call it. Weathered.
Was it one of Jack's?
Yeah.
I want to know what's happening with music because, I mean, you are one of the most successful, brilliant British artists. You're worldwide, like you're so international, like you're huge in America. And it's always been really funny because you are a very modest, you're the sweetest person. You've always had so much time for me. You've always been so generous with your kind of support. And also, I don't know, you're a good girl. And you are a huge star. And weirdly, like for me, I always kind of still think of you as like Ellie Goulding folk, like Ellie Goulding guitar, like there, but then you're this internationally mega fucking massive pop star, and I just wonder, I'm interested where the new music's going and what's happening, and like I'm so impressed by you. You started as this, what do they call you, a folktronica? That's what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What?
You were folktronica.
I remember her playing the drums.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you bang the drums on Jules Holland.
Yeah, and oh, I thought, God.
Wow, this girl's amazing.
Never watched that back, you know.
It was fabulous.
I don't remember anything. I don't remember those, you know, I just started out and then suddenly I was asked to go on Jules Holland, my favourite TV show. I would live for watching Jules Holland. And then suddenly I'm on it and I was like, oh, cool, yeah, no worries, yeah, cool. And not realizing that I was building up all this stuff, doing all these shows, pretending that it was like totally normal, whereas it's not fucking normal.
No.
Excuse my language. That stuff is not normal. And I sort of normalized it in my head, which was not good. And I was playing guitar and I was really genuinely like, all I wanted to do when I was a teenager was write songs and guitar. And then quite quickly, got out of playing guitar and just started singing. And it was that was when my voice kind of started to come through. So it was like I kind of was half and half at one point. And then eventually I was exploring my voice a lot more, which I think was something I needed to do because I kind of used the guitar as a bit of a crutch, I think. And then now in this isolation period, I've played guitar more than I have in absolute years. I've been picking up the guitar every 5 seconds, which is amazing. But the music that I've done in the past few years has definitely been more, I don't know how to explain this, but I've definitely been experimenting a lot more with pop music and trying to do things slightly out of my comfort zone. And I just love getting in the studio with Max Martin and those guys. I find it fascinating to write formulaic pop music, but it's not necessarily what I do as an artist. It's just what I like to do as a writer, as a pop writer. So I release these songs that I sort of giggle at because I'm like, this is so mad that I'm singing on this song. But, you know, I write these songs and I think, oh, maybe I'll give them to this person or that person, like really big pop singers. And then I end up just singing on them.
But you are a really big pop singer.
but I mean, like, I still have a voice that, you know, is, some people like it, some people don't, which I've so accepted that now. But in America, I'm still just like, a voice there. Like, I'm a voice that's on a lot of music, a lot of songs get played on the radio, but still people don't really know who I am. As far as they're concerned, it's just like I'm this British girl that sort of sings on the odd song. But I have that anonymity there, which I quite enjoy. So I can just keep putting out these songs and I get a real kick from it. But here, I'll release a song that I've written with Max Martin and it does nothing. It will not see the light of day. And I'll be like, okay. But then I'll release a song with just a piano here and it goes to number one. Like the last song I released here was a Joni Mitchell cover and it went to number one here because I think it's just two very different worlds that I've seemed to have got myself tangled in. But it's kind of fun because I never really know what's going to happen next.
So you're doing this pop thing, you're dabbling, you're having fun with it, you're getting in the room with Max Martin, which is bloody hard for people to get in the room with, and you're writing massive songs and you know, you've got this song that's doing really, really well in America. I mean, I'm hearing it on the radio all the time here too.
It's doing all right here. It was never really a song to sort of resonate as much here. I just feel like the music I release here, I don't know. I feel like it has to be a bit more, I hate this word, but slightly more raw, which I really hate using that word. But I just don't think that my voice in that context necessarily is appealing here. And I don't know why. It just shows you the difference between like American taste and like taste here. It's totally different. You know, that's why I think some artists break here and not America and vice versa. It's just different sounds and different tastes. And so the album is in two parts. So the first half of the album is completely me, and it's all me, all my vocals, all guitar, all piano, strings, a lot of choral elements, a lot of orchestra, bit of gospel choir. So it's a bit more soulful than perhaps I've done before, in that I'm using chords that I've kind of made up out of my comfort zone, and then my voice has kind of followed those chords, which I'm sure you know this. It just, as soon as someone presents you with a whole different set of chords that you've never used before, suddenly you're finding your voice going so many different places. Whereas before I was very, you know, I was very sort of pop oriented, where I would just sort of have four chords, then I'd sing with those chords, and it would just kind of be a variation of those chords. But then the second that you sort of branch into something, you know, like a different world, then your voice kind of follows it. So actually my voice has kind of taken a whole other, I don't know, it's definitely been a journey with that stuff. And then the other half is the more sort of collaborative stuff with artists that I wouldn't otherwise probably work with, other than to just see what happens, which is this latest song with Black Bear. And I did a song with Juice WRLD, who sadly passed away recently.
Yeah.
And then a song with Swae Lee and Diplo. And it's been a mad journey. It's been like, I when I release those songs, it's like, oh, I wonder what people think of those songs. But it seems so much more kind of transactional with those songs than with my own music. For example, my second album, it took like 60 weeks for it to get to number one. And then when I released Lights, this song Lights in America, it had a Billboard record for the slowest climb to number one, other than like Britney Spears or something. So like, I've always made music that people kind of get with a long time after. So I've always released music that does well like a year or 2 years down the line. It's really bizarre. So maybe that'll be the case with this album. I don't know.
Is Casper musical?
Casper is not musical. He has an incredible taste. His taste in art, and he deals with contemporary art, and he taught me a lot about modern artists. Casper's just kind of opened up that whole world. So we're quite a good team in that respect. Like, he took me to a exhibition that inspired the title, the name of my next album. So,
which is?
It's called The Brightest Blue.
Ooh, yes. I wanted to know what...
Table manners, darling.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, table manners.
Do you have good table manners? I bet you do.
I'm sure you do.
I think I do, because I In the past, well, I think Jessica can also relate to this. You sort of mingle with all kinds of people, and so you do sort of have to have a certain etiquette. And one thing that I didn't do, which my husband enlightened me about, was put the napkin on my lap at the start of the meal. So that's a thing, right? Where you put the napkin on your...
Go on, tell me about the napkin on the lap.
Well, the second that you, like, your drink is brought to you before the starter, you have to put your napkin on your lap.
I didn't know that.
So that's one thing.
Did you know that, Mum?
Of course I did, because I've got good table manners.
I didn't know that.
So napkin on the lap, and Casper would always have to put mine on my lap for me because I'd forget, and now it's just in my brain. And then the other thing was, and this is something that maybe is not at every dinner, but at some, where you have to speak to the person on your left for a certain amount of time.
I didn't know that one.
And then after your starter, you can then move to the right.
Oh my God, I did not know this. That's proper posh shit though, Ellie.
That's posh.
That's proper.
That's posh stuff. Yeah. But it kind of has always worked. And I don't know why.
But everyone must be so excited if you're to their right, their left, because... Or they're right, because you're such an exciting person to talk to.
Well, they get you for the main and the pud then, don't they? So the person on your left only gets you on the starter.
I don't know. I think the person to my right has a much better time with me, because by that point, I've had a few drinks, I'm a bit looser.
They've got to know you.
Exactly, yeah.
If you had to sing a song, a karaoke song, which karaoke would it be? Did you have karaoke at your wedding?
I don't know how to think about this. I didn't have karaoke, but I really regret it.
See, Jesse?
My favourite karaoke song is Bryan Adams' Everything I Do It For You.
Oh, my God. Why?
don't hold back, Ellie.
I don't know. I don't know. Look into my eyes, you will see what you mean to me. I don't know. It's just one of those songs.
Beautiful.
The first singing lesson I ever had, which was about 4 or 5 years ago, she said, oh, you remind me of Rod Stewart because I don't really know how you sing. She was like, you don't really sing with your head voice. You don't really sing with your chest voice. And you remind me of Rod because... I don't know how he technically sings because his voice is so bizarre. So apparently I share that with Rod Stewart. I was like...
That's amazing!
I hope that's a compliment.
Massive compliment. You'll be at the Brits. You'll be one of the legends at the Brits in 50 years.
Maybe by that time I can bring the Bryan Adams song back because the kids won't know it. So I could sort of claim it as my own.
Totally. Oh my God, Ellie, I don't... I feel like I could keep on chatting. Have you had your dinner yet?
No, it's literally just here. I haven't eaten it.
Oh, yeah, I forget other people are adults. I eat at like 5 o'clock with my children now. But I quite like it.
I didn't want to eat on the mic because I thought it might sound terrible.
You know what? It works when you're at our house, but it doesn't. We've realised it doesn't particularly work via Zoom. It's just not nice for anybody. So, I feel like you need to go and eat your dinner.
But let's do a part B because I think we should do a part B when all this is over and we're out of quarantine, and then we can be like, oh my God, what the hell was that all about? Wow, that was crazy.
Babe, anytime. And actually, we could just make it a drinks and canapé party, so we could just drink champagne the whole time.
Yes. Love canapés because they count as snacks. Love it.
Ellie, you are such a treasure. We adore you. I've always adored you. You've always been brilliant. And I wish you all the best with the new record.
Thank you so much. And you.
Thanks, doll. Babe, enjoy your dinner.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such a pleasure.
It's an honour.
She was so lovely. Ellie has always been such a wonderful girl to me in the industry. She's always been so generous. I think she's a really kind person, and she is this quite unconventional massive pop star that manages to have this quite I mean, this normal life, it seems like.
So sweet.
So lovely. Right, I'm off. Thank you so much for listening. Everyone stay safe. We will be back next week for more Table Manners Special Circumstances.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.